The Jacksonville Jaguars finished 11th in offensive yards created per game in the first season under Liam Cohen. Offensive guru coming in his first time as head coach and engineering a pretty dang good offense in a situation where there really hasn't been that much offense lately. 11th in yards per game. They're 6th in points per game. They were 12th in EPA per passing play. So pretty good stuff from Trevor Lawrence in this passing offense. They were 9th in EPA per QB run. They're 25th in EPA per running back run. That's surprising, right? I mean, it didn't feel like this was a bad rushing offense. In fact, early in the year at times, it felt pretty good. They were 20th in success rate on running back runs. I wanted to start there because what do we see this offseason? We see the Jaguars move on from Travis Etienne and not really do a whole lot to replace him. They brought in Chris Rodriguez, who's been a very successful runner with his limited opportunities as a pro, and was a successful runner under Liam Cohen at the collegiate level as well. But other than that, they haven't really done much at the position. So we've got Bashaul Thune, year two. Chris Rodriguez brought in as a free agent signing. And then LaQuint Allen is also in year two, is a round six pick, maybe round seven pick from last year, who played an important role on passing downs for the Jaguars as a rookie, but I don't think is likely to factor into the starting running back early down conversation in year two. I think it's most likely that Bashaul Thune is going to lead the charge for the Jaguars on offense. And so that's who we're going to talk about today. That's what, of course, the Beyond the Box score people are excited to hear about, because Thune was somebody who myself and Dan Schneier got pretty excited about as a rookie. We were tracking him closely throughout the season. And I think he's got a really great opportunity here in his second season, especially with Chris Rodriguez banged up during the offseason and missing some important reps. I think Thune has a real opportunity to step into a huge role here. So Cohen's Jaguars finished 9th in total offensive fantasy points produced in 2025. Not just the running back position, but the whole team. Overall offensive fantasy point production, they were 9th. The year before that, the Buccaneers under Liam Cohen were 2nd in offensive fantasy points. This has been a really, really productive system that Cohen has been running. And specifically at the running back position, it's been really good, even though the rushing efficiency wasn't that great last year for Jacksonville overall in terms of actual, you know, real life success and expected points added on running back runs. Travis Etienne finished running back 10 in PPR points. For fantasy purposes, this was a productive backfield. He was running back 12 in expected fantasy points. So that's per the fantasy points data team's model. You can find this at data.fantasypoints.com. They assign an expectation to each touch based off of where the touch came, what the circumstances of the play was. And Etienne finished running back 12 in expected fantasy points per their model. The year before in Tampa Bay, Bucky Irving finished as running back 19 in XFP and running back 13 in actual fantasy points. Rashad White was running back 29 in XFP and running back 22 in actual fantasy points. So that's three straight backs we have now under Cohen who have exceeded expectations. I think that's what we've seen from this backfield, is that the XFP numbers are good. The actual numbers are even better. And I think the main reason why we're seeing this is the red zone work. And what's really interesting to me about this is that we saw a massive red zone role for Trevor Lawrence last year, who had 9 rushing touchdowns. Baker Mayfield has been somebody who is using the red zone a lot as well. And still, just because of the way that Liam Cohen schemes up this offense, the running back position is very important, whether that's screen targets or misdirection type of plays, that you know, play action type of plays, pre-snap motion type of plays, getting them on reverses and stuff, where he finds creative ways to get the ball into these running backs' hands. Last year, it was a lot of Travis Etienne usage within that role, but I think that there's a real chance that we see a lot of that go to Thune this year. I think Thune, when used as a receiver, was pretty good as a rookie, good enough to at least leave the light on that he could get a lot of these touches. So the Buccaneers in 2024, both Bucky Irving and Rashad White were top 15 in fantasy points scored when in the red zone. Last year, Achane was running back 8 in fantasy points in the red zone, and Tune was running back 20 in fantasy points scored in the red zone as a rookie in a part-time role. That's pretty nuts, right? Four running backs top 20 in red zone production over the past 2 years. The Jaguars running backs last year scored almost as many red zone points as the Cohen's Bucks, which really is nuts to me, considering how good that Tampa offense was. To see Tutin and Achane and LaQuint Allen nearly match them in Cohen's first season in Jacksonville is really interesting to me. So Tutin, yeah, like I said, I think he does have a chance to get some of that receiving work. And I also think that what he showed us as a rookie was really encouraging in terms of his ability to maybe hang on to red zone work, depending on what happens here with Chris Rodriguez coming in, because Rodriguez is very good at that. But Tutin was very good at it as a rookie. So I've got some context to add on that and show you just a little bit more about the role that Tutin played last year, because it's pretty unique and interesting given his collegiate profile. So Tutin coming into the league obviously had this crazy athleticism. And if you watch the highlights, it's, you know, he's ripping off big plays at Virginia Tech. It's very clear why people get excited about him, what the upside might be. But if you dig a little deeper into the stats, a lot of negative plays. His stuffed rate was very high. And so that's the percentage of plays that gained zero or negative yards. And the other thing with Tutin was lots of fumbles, ball security issues. So those are two clear red flags coming in. And I think in year one, the team was very focused on those things. Can Tutin prove to us that he can be reliable in those ways? And I think that he really did a great job, like as much as could possibly be expected for a rookie here, selected on early day three. I really thought it was impressive. What wasn't there, weirdly, was explosive plays. He did create, you know, three explosive plays in the postseason, but during the regular season, very few explosive plays. And that's something that people will criticize Tutin for. I do think there's some important context to add here. So the Jaguars used him specifically as a short yardage back, and how I'm defining that is on plays where three or fewer yards were needed to gain a first down. They used Tutin as a short yardage back on 25% of his carries. That's an abnormally high rate for a running back. For comparison, Travis Achane's rate was 14%. Tutin was really good on these short yardage runs, really good, 81%. Success rate on these runs compared to 54% for Achane, 50% for LaQuint Allen. His stuffed rate on these short yardage runs was only 19%. Achane's was 28%. So these are like pretty much just league best types of numbers for Tutin. Not a huge sample size because he really didn't get to play a whole lot as a rookie. He got banged up at times during the year. So his overall numbers are, all of these numbers are coming in a very small sample size, but still, really, really good when he got the rock in the short yardage game. On non-short yardage runs, so if you just remove all of those, it cuts his sample down. But still, on these non-short yardage runs, this is all we've got to look at. He did have a higher explosive run rate than Achane on those runs specifically. So I did want to add that context that it's a small sample size already. And then when a quarter of it is coming on plays where the expectation is certainly not to gain an explosive play, but just to try to get the first down, get a few yards. I do think it's reasonable that Tutin could give us something significantly different in year two if his role is expanded, and that we can kind of just throw out the lack of explosive plays as a rookie. Because, I mean, if you look at his collegiate film and data, it's pretty clear that this guy can create explosive plays. But yeah, as a rookie, really, really good. In short yardage situations, and really, really good at just consistently creating positive plays. And a stat that I had a lot of fun tracking with Tutin is I noticed during the preseason, he didn't take a single loss. And so I was tracking it week over week, and it wasn't until week four, so 43 touches across the preseason, regular season, that he at least got to the line of scrimmage or created positive plays. Not a single one of his first 43 NFL touches was a loss. And so just to me, it's the little things with Tutin that really stood out in terms of his ability to avoid tackles when met behind the line of scrimmage and consistently get a little bit more than was blocked. I think that that was really important. A stat I've got on that, a way to contextualize that is you can filter on Fantasy Points data here. You can filter out any plays where the running back was met behind the line of scrimmage. And so I did that. That gives us 53 runs for Tootin during his rookie season where he at least got to the line before initial contact. And on those runs, his success rate, his stuffed rate, his missed tackles forced, yards after contact, all are better than Achane's were on similar types of runs where they where he at least got to the line of scrimmage. Among 53 qualified running backs, Tootin ranked fourth in success rate on these runs. He was 17th in missed tackles forced per attempt and 13th in yards after contact per attempt. So he was creating successful plays when he was at least able to get a little bit of runway. It was good. The question is, are we going to get the explosives? And I think we could. I think that it's pretty clear the athleticism upside case for Tootin, why people got so excited about him as a prospect. And I'm not ready to give up on that after 1 year. So I've got some comparisons here in terms of similar types of athletes. Here it is, running backs who ran, you know, a similar 40 time. He ran a freaking 4.32, guys. 4.32 at this size is pretty unprecedented. There have been a few, like back to 2008, Darren McFadden, where there have been a few players who were over 200 pounds that ran this fast. But most of the players who ran this speed were Javid Best types, Devon Achane types that are coming in at sub 200 pounds. Tootin is 209 at 5'9". So in terms of BMI and body composition, this is a really thick, compact player who also has this crazy, crazy athleticism. One of my favorite stats from the combine process with Tootin was that RJ Harvey ran a 4.4. He actually was timed as having a higher top speed, Harvey did, than Tootin, who ran a 4.32. And so like the actual fastest speed that Harvey was running was faster than Tootin. So how did Tootin cover the 40 yards faster than Harvey? It's just this insane burst off the blocks, right? Like that's the only way that he possibly could have covered the ground faster, even though he wasn't moving as fast at his top speed. And you might hear that and think, you know, well, that discredits Tootin. Really, it's just that Harvey was insanely fast. And the other point I would say is, I don't know if it really matters that much how fast, how ultimately fast you are. How many times is a player actually running 40, 50, 60 yards, you know, and needing to maintain that absolute elite level of speed? I don't know if that is that relevant. I think to me, what I want more is the stop start, the burst. And I think it's very clear that Tootin has that. So what I've got on the screen here is broad jump. It's sorted by broad jump. And the players who have had who have hit this like 130 mark that Tootin hit, it's pretty clear like how explosive these Derrick Henry, Amarian Hampton, Chris Johnson, Alvin Kamara, Quinshon Judkins types of players have been. Like there've been a few misses here, AJ Dillon, but man, the players who have had this type of athleticism have at least shown flashes throughout their career of translating it into explosiveness at the NFL level. So I've got some groups highlighted here. The first one is running backs who were drafted in a similar range, like 120 or higher is what I did. This is arbitrary, but it's running backs who've been drafted since 2020, 120 or higher in the NFL draft that ran a 4.4 or faster and were 205 or heavier. And that group is Tootin, Kenneth Walker, Jalen Wright, Jonathan Taylor, Antonio Gibson, Breece Hall, Trey Benson, and Saquon Barkley. And so most of these players who have gotten an opportunity have produced. And I think Tootin is in line for a big opportunity this year. Of this group, I do think Trey Benson stands out as the clear red flag because like Tootin, his profile featured a really high avoided tackle rate, but also it was boom bust. It was kind of inconsistent as a rusher. Like there were glimpses of upside, but also there were a lot of stuffed runs and stuff like that. And then Benson didn't necessarily translate this theoretical upside with the avoided tackles and yards after contact into explosiveness as a pro early on in his career, we could be looking at something similar with Tootin. So I want that to be kept in mind, because other than that, it's like, dang, this is a list of some really, really explosive, good athletic playmakers here. This next group is running backs who hit that same group, 205 or heavier, pick 120 or higher, who ran 4.4 faster, and had at least a 40-inch vertical jump or a 130 broad jump, 130-inch broad jump. And that group is just Tootin, Breece Hall, Ben Tate, who had 1,000 scrimmage yards as a rookie, but then his career kind of flamed out, and then Saquon Barkley. So only those four. It's really, really unique to have like this type of explosiveness and speed at this size. And so that's why, you know, people were so intrigued by Tootin, is he brings that athleticism that's, you know, akin to a Kenneth Walker or something like that, in terms of size and speed and burst. And he showed some ability to create big explosive plays, create yards after contact, showed some vision to hit cutback lanes and occasionally tempo and slow down his runs. As a collegiate player, what could it be at the NFL level? And then he gets, you know, drafted to the Jaguars with Liam Cohen, who people were obviously very intrigued by after what he did with Tampa Bay. The Jaguars made it a priority to get him. Their GM Gladstone had talked about Tootin way back in the process initially when he was hired, before even the NFL draft, where they were linked to this player, and then they land him. And so there were a lot of reasons to be excited that this could translate to something. And then what do we get in year one? Kind of a mixed bag, but not a failure by any means, I don't think, in terms of what Tootin gave us. He was trusted, and I think was used intentionally, and that's interesting to me. And so now as we go into year two, I think there is a clear opportunity for him. And given all of the theoretical upside, this is, to me, a profile that you have to have a clear reason why you're not going to draft him, or at least consider drafting him, as you form your fantasy football plan for 2026, because the pairing here with Cohen in this offense, along with all of the theoretical reasons to believe that he could be an explosive playmaker at the NFL level, this is just unique upside for the range where he gets drafted. And so I'm going to be pretty aggressively targeting him after the early rounds. Here's where I've got him ranked, is running back 21, which is five spots ahead of consensus in terms of running back rankings. And that puts me about a round and a half ahead of where he actually goes in drafts right now. I think he's going to keep climbing. So the players that I have him ahead of are Bucky Irving, Travion Henderson, David Montgomery, Quinshon Judkins. And I think that Montgomery and Judkins are clearly safer, I think, in theory. I don't know how confident I really feel in those players for fantasy, because Judkins in particular, I worry about the receiving role. But that could be a problem for Tootin too. I think LaQuinn Allen is going to play a lot of passing downs, but I just think there's way more manufactured touch equity in the receiving game here in Cohen's offense. And so I think in theory the role is safer for those Montgomery Judkins types, because they're likely to get more touches, but the offensive upside is so much higher for Jacksonville. And so to me, the group that he's most comparable to is Irving and Henderson. And it's going to be, you know, it's going to be really interesting and probably important distinction for fantasy drafters to draw this offseason, is how they're grouping these players and how they're ranking these upside bets at running back that aren't, you know, pushed up the board like a Kenneth Walker type, who clearly has upside but is going to cost a lot. You can get some of these cheaper upside bets because there's risk. We don't know what the role will be for Tootin or Travion Henderson or even Bucky Irving, who wasn't really involved around the red zone last year and is coming off of an injury and has Kenneth Gainwell out of the backfield, and Sean Tucker played well, and now there's a new offensive coordinator. Like, what's his role going to be? We don't exactly know. But it's clear that the upside is there for each of them. We've seen them create big plays. We've seen some flashes of receiving upside for each of them at times, whether that be as a college player or as a pro, or in Tootin's case, kind of attached to the offensive play designer. I think this is going to be a really impactful range for drafters, especially if you don't. The way running back is trending so far in 2026 drafts is that these profiles, these middle, RB2 range profiles, are getting pushed way up the board into round 2, 3, 4. And so if you end up missing out on some of those profiles and your running back 2 spot ends up coming down to this range, it's like, do you want the theoretical safety of David Montgomery or Travis Etienne or someone like that? Or are you willing to take a shot on Tootin, on Henderson? To me, I feel the most convicted in Tootin of this group. And that's mostly because he doesn't have a Ramondre Stevenson, who was really, really good last year and is a really, really good pass protector too. To me, Tootin, like with Chris Rodriguez coming in on a relatively cheap contract and never really being a running back who's proven to be more than a change of pace guy at the NFL level, to me, Tootin has the clearest path forward to getting significant work. And it's in an offense that could take another step forward. It really was impressive what the Jags were able to do last year. Dan Schneier, my buddy here, my co-host on Beyond the Box Score, Dan and I watched a ton of Jacksonville film this offseason because we're preparing for these quarterback profiles that we're presenting y'all. And so we watched with the specific intent of like Trevor Lawrence and his development and how that's going to affect the whole offense. But both of us, when we showed up and talked to each other about the offense, couldn't help but notice like, this offense is just built to produce running back points. It's such a friendly setup here for the running back position. And we saw that last year with Etienne giving us a career year and then immediately getting a big contract as a result. And I think that it makes so much sense to take cheap upside shots on this offense. And so Tootin is my bet. Dan is very intrigued by Rodriguez. And I think if Rodriguez gets healthy, he is a good fit for this offense. But either way, I'll say it again. If you aren't currently planning to draft pieces of this running back room, I think that is something that you need to challenge yourself on and have a clear reason as to why not. Because it, I think, is the clearest source of value on the board right now because people just don't know what to do with it. People don't know where the touches are going to go or which of these players is trustworthy. And so whenever there's, uncertainty like that, that's where we often get buying opportunities. To me, it's Tootin. I'm very excited. We're going to see how it all shakes out. As we get closer to the season, we'll probably have a better idea of where we want to be drafting these Jaguars. But to me, it's Tootin. I think everything, the runway is set for him to have a huge year too. I told you we're doing these profiles here on Beyond the Box Score, so I just wanted to point these out to you. If you aren't familiar, if you haven't seen these, we did the rookie quarterbacks. So that's Jackson Dart, Cam Ward, Tyler Shuck. Dug into the film and the data on each of these. There's some concerns with each of them heading into year two in terms of reasons why, as defenses get more film on these rookies, why they might take a step back. But there's also plenty of reason for optimism for these guys. I think each of them showed flashes and at times put it together for full games. I mean, I don't know if people remember that Cam Ward just was legitimately one of the best quarterback games against the Seattle Seahawks last year of any quarterback. There were flashes for each of them in year one. So it's really interesting to think about heading into year two, how this is going to develop. And then since then, Dan and I have been digging into some of the more polarizing QB breakouts from last year. So whether that's Malik Willis in a small sample size, Caleb Williams in his second season, Trevor Lawrence in his first season under Liam Cohen finally taking the leap. A lot of really interesting stuff to dig into. So if you're into more of this deep dive, you know, player specific stuff, I would point you to these profiles. I think that they're really interesting. And we're trying to hit on some of the more important players around the league in terms of who's going to shape fantasy this season. Who's the toughest to make sense of, because maybe we just have 1 year of data on it or whatever. And if you have any of those players that come to mind that you're really curious about, then please leave that in the comments here, because we've got a little bit of time here before we really ramp up and get into the deep dives with the draft season, like really trying to make sense of everything and figure out exactly how we're picking from each spot and everything. So we've got some time to get into the film still. So you can let us know. Tetero McMillan is one that we're preparing now. We're about to get into the rookie receivers and tight ends, but we still have time to get into more quarterbacks and running backs if you're curious. The other thing I wanted to point you to is these videos we're putting out with Ryan Heath of Fantasy Points Data. I love my guy Ryan. Just can't say enough about the good work that he does. And so he is looking at each position and what has been predictive of future fantasy scoring the next year for quarterbacks, running backs, receivers, and tight ends. Specifically, which stats have been predictive of the next season's fantasy points. So I threw a lot of stats at you today. It's very easy at this point to just get super, super deep into the weeds with the stats on all of these players and teams and everything, but which ones have actually mattered in terms of, like, you know, not just telling a story about what happened, but then what might happen the next year. So that's what we dug into with these longer videos. And I think that if you're curious about that, these are definitely worth your time, because Ryan really does great work. So check those out as well. All right. Thanks, y'all. Let me know for sure what you're thinking about the Jaguars backfield, if you're in on Tootin or not, if you have any questions about Tootin. Because I did my best in trying to wrap my head around this with the Liam Cohen and everything, the way he uses this position in his offense and how Tootin might fit into it. But the reality is we just don't have that much information on him yet. So I don't want to just let my priors in terms of my excitement for Tootin, the fact that I've drafted him on Dynasty team and stuff, I don't want to let that influence me too heavily here. So if you want to challenge any of this, if you think I've got like a blind spot or anything on this, definitely let me know. Cause this offense is really interesting to me. The Jaguars were so successful in the first year under Liam Cohen. And yet, as I'm looking at Vegas expectations, they're not where the Chicago Bears are. They're not, as high as some of these, the Chargers now with Mike McDaniel and stuff. They're lagging a little bit behind. I think their win total is 8.5, 9.5 wins or something like that. So I've been thinking about them more and more, and just wanting to make sure that, Dan and I get very excited about this offense. I want to make sure that we don't get too carried away with it. So, cause I think it's up there as maybe the most important offense to get right. So that's why I've been spending so much time with it, with the film here with Liam Cohen, and trying to predict what it might look like in the second season. All right. Thanks, y'all. I'll see you at the next player profile. Take it easy.